instead of you turning your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and Paul's been pouring out about his brethren in chapter 9 that we've covered for the last couple of weeks, and how his desire was to see them to come to know Christ, and he was talking about God's elective purposes and how we learn all about God's election, and it kind of gets confusing sometimes, but we all believe in God's election. It's one of those things that we believe in faith because the Bible teaches. It's kind of like the Trinity. Explain that one, if you would. Donnie mentioned the hypostatic union of God, 100% God, 100% man, 100% God. Explain that. It's one of those, we believe it. We believe in the divine election of God, and we know that He chose it. But we're also going to see, as we get into chapter 10, we have a responsibility. It's both sides of the coin, and we'll see that. Nobody will ever stand before the Lord and say, I was lost because I wasn't the Lord's elect. The only reason you'll stand there lost is because you rejected Christ as your Savior, period. It'll never be put, blame will be put on God for any of that. And so I want us to think today that there is a, we have this horizontal theology, but there's our vertical theology, but there's also a horizontal theology that we're going to see that Paul's going to bring out. But before we get started, I want us to talk about, you've heard me mention the Roman road. The Roman's road. What is that? It is a tool that you can use. And at the end, Sandy so graciously printed it off and made up of some things that we can put in our Bible. Once you take it, it's just a little quarter sheet. Put it in your Bible. Tape it in there. Why? It's a tool. I'm always after you to witness and to be sharing your faith. And if the truth be known, some of our greatest fear would be, well, what if they receive Christ? What do I do then? You don't have to call. We better call the preacher. It's all right. If you need help, I'm here for you. But I want you also to have a tool that you can take anybody and through the Word of God. It doesn't have to be your words. Well, what if? Listen, take the Word of God and walk them through the salvation. And so I want us to look at that. Chris, put the Roman road, the first part of that up, and when we're doing as we get started. So here's it is. First, it's Romans 3:23. If you want to write this down, you'll get the sheet. Romans 3:23 is you have to know that you're a sinner. Realize you're a sinner. What does it say? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we have a problem. Who does? All. All means all. That's all, mean, all means. Okay, everybody. Okay, the next part of that is what? Romans 6:23, the penalty of sin. So we're all sinners and we receive this penalty. What is the penalty? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there's 6:23. You need to let them know that there is a wage. We all know what a wage is what I say. What's a wage? Well, you earn it, man. At the end of the week, you're working where you get paid weekly or biweekly or monthly. You decide, you want to get that paycheck, don't you? Well, guess what the Bible says? That we earn what? Death. But the gift, don't leave it there. But God give us a gift. What was it? Eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And then lastly, we'll be in our scripture today, and I wanted to just give you this up front, is how do we overcome that? We confess and we repent. But 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, what does it say? You will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then 13, you can take them on there. I'd just like to kind of put that last stamp again. Verse 13 says, for what? For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Saved is not a churchy word. Saved is not a word we make up. We've seen it twice, haven't we, in 10 and 13. Saved is a biblical word, okay? It's not. Don't be scared to use the word saved. So that's Romans road. And when we go out, we'll have one of our lovely young ladies to pass these out to you. Put it in your Bible. Put it somewhere. Tape it in. I used to have it taped in my Bible before I learned it in my mind and done it and had used it. I had it taped in my Bible so if I ever run into the need of having to lead somebody to Christ, I had it right there. I could just open it up and walk them through it. So it's a good tool. For as a pastor, I should give you these kind of tools. And so I was just excited as we got into this. So as we get started in our responsibility, the thought is, okay, what are we responsible for? If God chooses, God's sovereign election, then what is man responsible for? And I want us, that's a great question. I want us to look at three principles today of our responsibility. The first is we are to know what God desires. And before we get started, let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet and reverence God's word. We'll be looking at Romans chapter 10, 1 through 13. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. And the word of God says this: Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way: Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or from above. It says, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart, that it is the word of faith which we preach. That if you can, here's our memory verse, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who calls upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, thank you for a few moments. I pray be glorified through the preaching of your word. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So what is man's responsibility? What is our responsibility when it comes to the things of God? I want us to see, firstly, we are to know what God desires. Look at verses 1 through 3. Know what God's desire. The word of God says, brethren, this is Paul again, my heart's desire for God is for... let me start. Look. This is so good. I'm getting ahead of myself. Look, calm down, Dave. Calm down. All right, here we go. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Paul shows that continued heart desire. It should be our heart. Listen, I want you to see not just Paul's heart. He had a desire for them to know Christ. I want you to think about a litmus test. How much desire do you have to see people come to know Christ? Not just a superficial, but a true desire. If you have that desire, then we're going to use these tools. We're going to have those prepared. We're going to be ready. Why? Because we understand at any moment Christ might lead somebody into our path. Listen, and when he does, last week, when God has somebody ready and I got to lead them to Christ, that's the greatest feeling. Why? Because I realize it's something outside of myself. Something that God has called me to do. And then if it ain't just for me, it's for everybody. Because he's called us to be that mouthpiece. And so he's got this continued prayer for his countrymen. That should be the number one thing that we do. What? Pray. Pray. I don't think that we really grasp the strength and the power that prayer has. And he's praying. We should pray. And that's the best thing that we do for our loved ones and those that we're surrounded and our family members, our workers, the people that we have. We should pray, God, save them, but give me the opportunity, Lord. Give me that opportunity for the window to open. We don't want to charge in there like a bull and say, well, let me tell you, now you're going to hell. I'm serious. If we're not careful when it's not from the heart, we're not looking and we're not looking for God to open the door, sometimes we want to do that. But when the door opens, see, we can't be timid either. We can't be on the opposite of the pendulum swings. When the door opens and you know it opens, you got to step in there, man. You got to share Christ. Has he done anything for you? Share your story with them. And so he prays and He's shown us that, man, this, that we know that they were relying. We saw him as we studied through chapter 9 that their heritage and all these things, they had the temple worship. Man, they had the law. They had all these things, and they had these things, but those things that is what they replaced for what God wanted and what God's desire, what God's plan of salvation was. They had replaced that. It was not. They thought that that's what made them saved. It's what made them right, and they didn't realize it was just God pointing to the true salvation that was on the way. Christ was on the way. And he goes in, look at what he says in verse 2. This is what their problem is. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Paul could say that. How zealous was he? Man, he took the words, and he talks about Philippians that he was a Jew, he was a Pharisee. He took the things that he had learned, and he persecuted the church because he thought it was against the things that he had learned as a boy. He had zeal. He knew what it was to have zeal, but not according to what? Knowledge. The Scriptures tell us it's not good to have zeal without knowledge. I want you to know this morning, sincerity is not enough. Because you can be sincerely wrong. We see that. What causes a group of men to make a plan to heist airplanes, coordinate it, not to mention the people that were on those planes, but the buildings that they flew into and the thousands that were killed? What possesses people? They were sincere about their religion, but they were sincerely wrong. And that, here's the deal. It shouldn't make us angry at them, even though it is something that you become angry at. It should make us heart hurt that people are out there that are so sincere in their walk, but yet so wrong, missing heaven. And our heart's desire should be that we take the gospel to people. Listen, they'll come and knock on your door. Won't they? The Jehovah's Witnesses. They'll come and they'll knock on your door and the three, and they'll go from house to house because they feel like these are the things that make them right. They're sincere, but they're sincerely wrong in that they reject Jesus Christ. The Mormons. I don't see many Mormons up here. But down in Wake Forest, man, down in Raleigh, oh, they come out regular, be them young boys. I like, woo, come on. I loved it. Why? I just love on them. You know what they used to? Get the door slammed and cuss and run off. I just love on them. Before it was over with, they were scratching their head. And I had them talking about, you know what, guys? And they'd pull out their little picture of their prophet. And I'd say, you know what? There's only one man of God that came. His name is Jesus. And just because you say the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints don't make you my brother, because you know what? You're rejecting Christ as your Savior. I will tell you something. On this porch right here, somebody's wrong. And I believe it's you, because I think that you're missing out on the Word of God. Let me pray for you. I'd pray for them. God, please, they are so sincere. They believe so earnestly in what they believe, and yet they believe is wrong. Save them and use them as a witness for you. You can be sincerely wrong. We can. And so this zealousness, we see that the Jews hated the idolatry. They hated it. And they lived a very orthodox life, as called orthodox to Judaism. But they were lost. Why? They rejected the only way to be saved. Don't care how sincere you are. Don't care how good a person that you are. You reject the only way to God through Jesus Christ. You're lost. Hear me this morning. Those that might be listening online, if you don't have Christ as your Savior, don't care how good you are, how good you are to people, you're lost. Receive Christ. I don't know how many people use the sincerity to gauge. I worked with them down at Dana Corporation. In my other life, I was a CNC machinist. All right? I was. Loved it. Why? But after God saved me out of a life of pure redneckness, okay? Them old boys that I used to party with and all that, they saw me change. They made fun of me. I got to lead them to the Lord, a lot of them, and got to see that it wasn't just a passing fad. It was a real thing. God had changed me. But I had a bunch of them good old boys that, You know what they'd say? I had one that he'd take the Lord's name in vain. He'd look at pornography. He'd do all these things. But he'd say, I love Jesus. And his wife would say, I won't say his name. We'll call him Terry. Terry, if anybody goes to heaven, it'll be you because you just love people. And that's what he was confirming his salvation in, because his wife said it. I was flipping through the channels one time. Just, you know how those men like to surf. You ladies don't understand that, right? And I came up on one of those shows. I don't remember where it was at. And they were talking about, just for a second, it was talking about these people were bragging on this woman, how great she was. And they made a statement, said, if anybody ever goes to heaven, it'll be her. It was a pornography star is what it ended up in. I just flipped on by and said, dear Lord. People are convinced. I'm serious. It's sad, ain't it? That's the sad. That's the world that you live in. They're zealous. They're sincere because they feel like if they're good people and treat people right, that makes them right with God. There's a lot of good people that are even better than we are in the church many times that are lost. Paul knew that. He was saying their only chance was, Paul realized the only chance for Israel to be saved was for God to get a hold of them and change them and shake them out of what it was they were putting their trust in. Verse 3 says, listen, verse 3 says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. What is he saying? They took what God had given them. God had given them the law. He had given them all these things. If you study and you're going through Moses, and look what a great, he'd taken these chosen people. He went to Mount Sinai, gave them the Ten Commandments that we still have today. Give them the Decalogue, the law, all these things. Told them how to worship. And they took that and said, that's what makes us right with God. They didn't understand it. And Galatians tells us, Galatians 3:23, it was just a tutor. It was just a teacher to show us that we could never attain to the righteousness of God. Yet they thought it did. It made them right with God. And I thought, as I was studying this out, did you not know if you were so right with God, why did you have to give a sacrifice? It was right before them. Every year, Day of Atonement. Why, if that's what made them right with God, why did they still have to shed in the blood? Why? It never was meant to make them in right standing with God. It was meant to point them to a Savior. The only way, that shedding of the true Lamb of God one day, that would be right. And so they had changed it into something that God never meant for it to be. In fact, I love this saying. Kent Hughes said, they saw their heritage, they saw the law as a ladder to elevate them up to God, to the place of righteousness. This ladder, that this is what made them right, that they could be down, look down on everybody else because it made them, they climbed up and made them right with God. Listen, that's how man-made religion always is. It's always reaching up to God. What we do that makes us right. Christianity is God reaching down to man because we could never do it. And so we see that the zeal was connected, that zeal of the Jews was connected to that ladder. They thought that's what made them right with God. Paul says, man, it was without knowledge of the true Scripture. He was a man that knew where they were at, but had his eyes open through the Holy Spirit, had changed it. And his desire was, do you realize that's us, by the way, if you're saved? His desire was to see that same Holy Spirit open up any heart. Whoever that impossible person that you think can't be saved today, why are you saved? I'm the impossible. It's the Holy Spirit that has to do the work. Paul realized that. And so he's letting them know, hey, we are to know what God desires. But not only that, secondly, we are to believe in God's plan. Look what 4 through 8 says. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend up to heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Paul is saying Christ is the end of that ladder of reaching up, climbing up to God. What man could never do, Christ did. he didn't come to abolish the law, but to what? To fulfill the law. He said it himself. They were ignorant of God's plan. They had complicated it dearly. They were zealous, lost people. How sad. They are people that were saying they could say the right thing, act out the right things, and yet they were far from God. Hey, we can relate to that, can't we? We live in the South. Again, the Bible Belt already brought up, church on every corner. If everybody was right in those churches, why are we not having the revival of a lifetime? If everybody was right in our congregation, why are we not having the greatest revival we've ever had? Why? Because when we are right with God, when we have a heart's desire to see men and women come to know Jesus, you don't have to create an outreach program. Dear Lord, we programmed it to death. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to go out. But when we make it that being the thing that we do, it's our life that wherever, as you go, you're taking the gospel. You don't have to program it to death. That's one of our things that we do good and do well as Baptists, by the way. We don't program it. It's not a program. Get away from the canned stuff a lot of times. It's been good in the past. It ain't going to work today. These millennials don't want to hear about that. Wait a minute. F-A-I-T-A. I mean, seriously. I mean, it's a good thing we go through these different programs and we make it canned. If there ain't no life in it, good gracious, why do they need it? The world's full of fun, all the fun they want. It's a lie. They need to see something that's changed your heart, changed your life. We need to believe in God's plan. In fact, it's easy to be a zealous person and to be lost. How is that? They're commended for their zeal, but that condemnation, that brings that false security we talked about before. Their zeal is really what they were trusting in. How well they did this and that. And he writes in verse 5, he says, "For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them." That's Leviticus 18:5. The way of life, salvation, is by the law, is what Moses was saying. And if a man could keep the law, it would be correct. The problem was, you couldn't keep it fully. One of the indicators, again, was that sacrifice. But he says in verse 6, "But the righteousness of faith proclaims a different message, a righteousness not by the law, but by Christ. And it's not unreachable." Listen, it's something that's attainable. It's accessible to everybody. And he's going to show us that in a minute. I love because he quotes Deuteronomy 30, 13 through 14, and he equates what he's talking about. That's in the blessing and the curse section of Deuteronomy. But he equates this to Christ. And he says, "Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven? That's to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead." Paul's saying you don't have to complicate it. There's no need for us to scale the highest heights or the depths to search for Christ. He has already come, died, and is risen and is accessible to us. Listen, that's what Easter's about. We'll be celebrating. It's already been done. We don't have to do these great works. And I thought about Naaman. How he wanting something grandiose. You say, what are you talking about? We know in 2 Kings chapter 5, old Naaman was a commander of the army of Syria. Great commander. And he had went in and actually done a raid and had this little servant girl from Israel. And he must have been a good man because she cared so much about her master. And she said, oh, I wish, he had a problem. What was it? Leprosy. Even though he was a great man, he had a great problem, and that was leprosy. He was a leper. That little girl said, oh, I wish my master would go to Samaria. There's a prophet there that could heal him of his leprosy. Old Naaman heard that, man. He thought, well, I need to make me a trip. King of Syria sends the king of Israel a note and says, hey, my man's coming, and he won't see your prophet. He needs to be healed of this leprosy. You know what the king of Israel did? He ripped his garment and said, who in the world could do that? Elijah heard about it. He said, send him to me. See old Naaman come riding up with his big entourage, right? General Naaman, man. He's the guy, right? And Elijah don't even go out. Elijah, he don't even go out to him. He sends his servant out. He said, tell him to go dip in the Jordan River. He'll be all right. Just go dip in the river. What did he do? Naaman got mad. He got mad. Why? He wanted something great, man. That's how we are. We think, oh, we got to have this great thing. God's not in it. He wanted to go out. He said, hey, don't our rivers in Damascus, the Fafar and Abana, they're better than Jordan. Why would I ever dip in the... He goes off mad. Going back home. What did his servant say? Hey, master, if he had told you to do something great, if he had told you to climb the highest height, to plumb the deepest depth, would you not have done it? Naaman realizes pride. Ooh, that's the thing that gets in the way. It's our pride. He said, you know, you're right. You know what he did? He goes down there and dips in the jar. And comes up looking like a baby. He was healed. Why? Simple obedience. We don't have to scale the highest mountain or plumb the deepest depth. Christ is right there. And if we just, though our sins were scarlet, he shall make you white as snow, what the scripture says in Isaiah. I love this because verse 8 says, look, no, Paul's saying it's simple. Verse 8, the word is near you in your mouth and it's in your heart. You don't have to look far and wide, high or deep. He's what? He's near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. It's the word of faith which we preached. Because lastly, look, we are to confess God's person. Verses 9 and 13, it says that if you confess, this is our memory verse, remember, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what Paul's showing him? It's accessible and it's available. It's close. And here's the deal. These verses have led millions and millions to Christ. And will lead millions and millions more. You could be a part of that. You just have them with you when the time comes. It's the end of the Roman road. What we call the Romans road. Great verses that show us confessing and believe. If you confess and believe, you will be saved. How did the Jews miss it? How? How did they miss the simplicity of the gospel? How do we miss it today? How do people miss it today? Because it doesn't jive with their idea of what makes them right. Same difference. The reason people reject the gospel and the life of Christ and living for Christ is it just doesn't jive with what they think makes things right. We live in a society that's turned its back on this. You turn your back on this, you turn your back on God. Why? He wrote it for us. He gave it to us. If we make this full of lies, then what's the truth, my friend? What is the truth? Whatever man says the truth is. That's the world you live in. They have to see it's made a difference in your life before they'll ever listen to what you say. If you're one of them guys that, just like old Terry was, takes the Lord name in vain, looks at everything they look at, talks the way they talk, does the things they do, they ain't going to listen to the gospel you have to share because you're not any different than they are. Paul summarizes the gospel. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that means that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Thus, the heart and the mouth, inward belief and outward confession belong together. You can't have one without the other. Confession without faith would be in vain. But also, faith without confession would be just as wrong. Far from being beyond them, it was actually inside of them, in their heart and in their mouth. It was just a matter of receiving that which God... The gift, he said, remember 6:23? But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Christ Jesus. You didn't earn that gift. If you earned it, it's not a gift. It's a wage. But the gift of God is eternal life. You just reaching out and taking what God's done. 11 through 13 builds on the closeness and accessibility of Christ and his gospel. He is not only easy accessible, But I want you to think about that he's equally accessible to all. The cross was the great leveler. No longer Jew and Gentile, just lost and saved. No longer male and female, just lost or saved. Two people in the world, lost or saved. Don't matter what color. Don't matter where you come from. Don't matter what gender. Lost, saved. The great leveler is the cross, Calvary. And that's what he's letting them know. Everything. I want you to say everyone, everybody has access to Christ. The whosoever will. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Jew thought that was way too simple. That's way too simple. You know what he prided himself on? Working hard. Oh, wait a minute. Working hard. We're from the mountains. We come to the country and we like it that way, don't we? In fact, a lot of you are so excited it's daylight savings time. That means you can work all day and go home and work till it gets dark. And the wife's sitting home wondering, he ever going to come home? Because why? Because we've worked hard for everything we got. But you can relate to that. There's one thing you can't work for. You can work your fingers to the bone when you get bony fingers. You can't earn your salvation. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You can't do anything. And that's what he's letting them know. Nothing wrong with hard work. For people that are used to working, sometimes it's hard to understand. It's just a gift. You don't have to work for it. So simple, a little child can understand it. And yet, so profound, it stumps the greatest minds in the world. Some of the greatest men that's ever walked this earth, as far as intellectually great, tripped right over it. Simplicity of it. Aristotle, unmoved mover, that's as far as he got. I wonder if he's in hell right now saying, unmoved mover. Oh, if I just saw it's Christ. Plato with his forms, so close. What if he's saying the forms were Jesus? Some of the greatest minds ever lived stumbled over it. Yet, you take a little. I saw a 4-year-old one. A 4-year-old could do that. Elaine Andres. I'll never forget her testimony. She knows she's received Christ at 4 years old. Where's she at? And Jesus right now, bro, is like saying, woohoo! Love my hat in heaven. Why? At 4 years old, that's the youngest I've ever heard. Does that mean every 4-year-old grasps it? No. She could take a young child that hears the truth of God. They don't complicate it, do they? In fact, Jesus said, unless you come like become like one of what? One of these, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. We complicate it. And yet a child, he don't complicate it, just believes it and receives it. That's why it's so sweet to see them come to know Christ before they get out in the world and get so smart, as far as world smart. And yet, when they're at that age and they receive Christ, they're so much smarter than some of the greatest people that's ever lived. Okay? What profiteth a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What profiteth a man if he was as smart as a person that's ever lived and he missed Christ? Why, not even that much. How smart was he? The kid's smarter. Because he received that which he rejected. So simple. Listen, the proof's in the pudding, though. You ever heard that old saying? Proof's in the pudding. Your life proves out what your mouth is saying. And that's what Paul was letting them know. Listen, you guys, we're responsible. Yes, we see that God's choice, he elected the Jewish nation to bring Christ into the world. He elected the Jewish people to be that which Abraham's seed, to be that which brought salvation to the rest of us. And yet they tripped over that which he had brought. And they used their own heritage to trip over Christ and the message of Christ. And they rejected him because man's responsibility will always be you either reject or you receive. That's it. Period. You'll never stand before God and say I'm not responsible. Oh, yes, you will, because the only way a person's lost is when they reject the message of Christ. Question today, have you received that message? Or what is it that you're equating your goodness to? Are you working hard? Or you just received a gift? Some applications and we'll be done. Linda, come and play. First one, what are you struggling with that keeps you from being what the Lord's called you to be? Now listen, that touches each and every one of us. Every one of us here have a desire to be, hey, not just the army, to be all that you can be. For Christ's sake, because really that's all that matters. What is it in your life that hampers you? Is it career, family? Is it apathy, complacency? Is it pride? What is it that keeps you from being all that God's called you to be? That desire, that nagging in yourself when you're all alone and everything gets quiet and you know, I just feel like, Lord, that you want something more from me. What is it that's keeping that from happening? It's not in your salvation, by the way. There's nothing you can do to earn that. But once we get saved, He's called each and every one of us to be that which He's called us to be for His glory. What's keeping you from being that? Number two, are you confessing Christ to your family and friends? We confess with our mouth, believe in our heart. Are we confessing in front of our family and friends? I can't do that, Pastor Dave. I'm just not one of those people. You really got it. Because what's inside is going to come out. No excuses. You're going to find people are going to know what you believe and why you believe it. He's a really good person. Let me tell you why he's good. If I'm that person, oh, Dave, you do this. Let me tell you why I did it. Everything that you do, change a tire. Let me tell you why I did that. Because Jesus Christ saved me. I could have went by here and not give a flip if you're on the side of the road and need your tire changed. But listen what he did for me one of these days. I was lost and going to hell, but he saved me. You believe that? And because he saved me, I love God and I love others. That should be our mission statement here, by the way. No complications. Love God, love others. Is that not what Jesus condensed it all down to? Love God and love others. When I love God, I'm going to love others. I'm not only going to love my family, church family, here at the fort, but I'm going to love everybody outside these walls of the fort, everywhere I go. Are we confessing Christ to our family and friends? Lastly, when was the last time you spent time with God praying for the lost? Got to be honest for the Lord about that. Oh, I pray a whole lot about Aunt Mary's side pain or headache. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to tell you, we pray more to keep saints out of heaven than we do lost people out of hell. Let's just be honest. Our prayer request is all about keeping saints of God out of heaven, which we should pray. But how much do we pray about sinners out of hell? How many times are our prayer requests to pray for so-and-so or this person that I work with or this family member, this child? How many times? Shows us our heart, don't it? Let's stand to our feet. Well, what about you this morning? Brittany's going to come and sing, and as soon as she starts singing, don't hesitate. If God said something to you, act on it. Why? Because that shows Him I'm acting in obedience in front of my family. I don't care if they think this, this, and this. It doesn't matter. What's God think? If you're lost and you don't have a relationship with Christ and you know you're lost, don't put it off any longer. Come and receive Jesus. I'll take those very words that we just had right now. I'll walk you through them. Receive Christ. Don't complicate it. Maybe some of you say, you know what, I just need to come and pray for somebody that's lost in my family.
I hear the Savior.
it's flowing up here. Woo!
Jesus paid it.
You say you have a relationship with Christ. Don't miss out on the greatest thing.
Sin above the crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby Thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb.
Sing it. What is it that the Lord's laid on your heart today? What would God have you do? Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Listen, coming forward, if you receive Christ today, let me know, please. Coming forward, you don't have to come forward to get saved. You can stay right where you're at, but I promise you, you want your church family to know it when Christ does something in your heart. So let me know, please. There's something I can ever help you with. We're family. I didn't mean to get so tore up. It's just sometimes the Word of God just hits you right where you're standing. Boom! And you're calling people to do what you need to be doing yourself. Sometimes it gets real, okay? Listen, tonight, 6 o'clock, come on back out. Children's choir, Bible study, finger food, it's always a good time. So, whatever, listen. God, let God use you this week. Get that tool, get the Romans Road on the way out. Tape that in your Bible. It's all you need to lead somebody to the Lord. You don't have to crash your head and say, wonder what I need to do. Right there it is. Tape it in your Bible, have it with you. Who knows what God can do? Lee closes in.